Well, please turn again in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verse 17 this morning. And I've entitled the sermon, A New Beginning. A New Beginning. We all desire a new beginning. We all need new life. And that is what we see promised here in Scripture. So let us again look at God's Word and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let us hear God's Word. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let us seek the Lord for his blessing upon this message. Let's pray together. Father, as we come now to study your word, we ask that you would speak to us. That, Lord, you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us. May the Holy Spirit be amongst us this morning. May he take the word and apply it to the hearts of each and every one of us. For those who need to be healed, may he heal us. For those who need to be convicted, may he convict. And may he point to Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, would you be with me now as I preach? May I know the liberty of the Spirit, the unction that only comes from you. And may I be faithful to proclaim your word. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we live in a day, an age, a time where there is much demand for change. It seems that everywhere people want change. As I drove into Bristol this morning, I noticed protest signs along the walls, graffiti calling for change. As we turn on our news, we see that protesters have taken to the streets around this nation, a calling for immediate changes in many different things. As an election grows, we are finding that the media is talking about the need of change as well. And many experts are saying there's a need for policy and directional change. You see, the world over this morning, there are people who are searching for a new beginning. People who are searching for a change which they hope will make things better. As they look around the world, they see that life hasn't ended up the way they hope. So they figure if we can just change a few things, if we could just improve a few things, everything will be better. And that's the popular thought, is it not? Oh, if I just change my job, my life will improve. If I would just change where I was living, if I could get that sea change and get that nice little house by the water's edge, surely everything would be better. Others will say, if I change my family, then that will make my life better as well. A popular thought that is very much a part of our society at the moment is this idea where people are told that if your life is not being fulfilling and not doing as you expect it to do, then perhaps you even need to consider changing your gender. Change is everywhere. That's what people promise. They say change and everything will improve, but why? Why do people want these changes? Well, quite simply, the reason we want change is because we know something isn't right. Deep down in each and every one of us, there's a voice that says, this is not how things are supposed to be. So what humanity does is they begin to look for solutions. They begin to look in all the wrong places. If we just change this or that, if we perhaps modify that over there, then everything's going to be wonderful. It will be pure paradise. I spoke to a man not so long ago who had taken the advice of the world. He was a man who said he was not happy with his life. He felt depressed all the time. He felt like he wanted just to give up. So he went and he saw an expert and said, "What do I do with my feelings?" And this expert said, "Tell me what you're going through." So he did. He said, "I'm going through this, I'm going through that." And the expert said, "Ah, I can fix you. What you really need to understand," the expert said, "is that you're a woman trapped in the body of a man. So this man said he listened to the expert and he went through surgery and he began to live and dress like a lady. And when I spoke to him, he said these words, "I felt just as empty afterwards, just as lost. I knew something was wrong, but now the changes had only added to my problems." You see, all the external changes that people make don't help. And the reason they don't help is because they don't deal with the root of the issue. You see, if we want real change, if we want a new beginning, then we need to find out the root of our deepest need, and that's where the change must begin. We need to discover why change is needed, and then, and only then, will we understand how to have that change. And this morning, as we meet in this old chapel, I want us to understand that even though as we look around this chapel, we see that things are consistent, we see that things don't always change in our society, I want you to know that in your personal life, I want you to know that where you are this morning, that change is possible for you. A real change. A positive change. A change that will actually work. This morning, as we sit in this building, I want you to grasp the truth of Scripture. A new beginning is offered to you today. A new beginning that won't come through your deeds. A new beginning that won't come through your actions. A new beginning that won't come about because of religion and what you do. Rather, a new beginning that comes only through Jesus Christ. And this morning, today, you can know Jesus and you can become a new creation that the Bible here speaks about. You see, the Bible makes a promise to us. The Bible says to us that there is a possibility of change. There is a promise of a new creation. And that's what's offered to all those who would hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we see that new creation and how we become a new creation, we need to get to the root of the matter. We need to stop and read the text and ask the question, why do I even need a new creation? Why do I need a new beginning? Look at our verse again. The Bible says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, as we read that verse, it's very easy for us to read it at a superficial level. We read the verse and go, isn't that nice? Jesus here is making a promise to us that we can be brand new. And that indeed is true. Jesus is making a promise here to us. It is a promise that is true. But what we need to do is stop and ask a question. Jesus here promises through the Apostle Paul's words that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. And as we read that, we should ask, why? Why do I need to become a new creation? Why do I need change? Why do I need a new beginning? You see, when the Bible here speaks of a new creation, it isn't speaking about merely cleaning up your life. It's not speaking about correcting a few wobbles that you may have. No, what is being promised here and what is being described here is a complete transformation, a recreation, a new creation. But why do we need it? Well, the problem is so many people don't realize their need. They don't realize why they need to become a new creation. They think that maybe if we just come to Jesus and do things with Christ, he will improve our life and he'll polish our lives up and nothing really needs to change. But that's not what the text is describing. The Bible here is making a description that everything that is old has to go away and a new has to come. And that new doesn't come through what we do, it comes only through Jesus. I live on the south coast. I live not far from Portsmouth. In fact, I live halfway between Southampton and Portsmouth. And Portsmouth, as you may know, is the home of the Royal Navy. Now, when the Navy ships are actually working or we have crews, there you often see them sailing out, but every now and then you hear reports of ships coming back in because something has gone wrong. So, for instance, at the moment, both of the aircraft carriers are tied up at dock in Portsmouth. because something has gone wrong with them. But what often happens is that you hear the news of a ship coming back in because the ship needs to be refitted or refurbished. And what happens is the Navy then takes that ship, it changes a few things, updates the system, perhaps gives it a new weapon system, but in general the ship stays much the same. And that's how people actually view our lives and the need for a new creation. They look at our lives and they say, well, look, you know, my life isn't that bad. I just need a bit of a clean-up. I just need a bit of an improvement. I just need a bit of a refit, but nothing too drastic. But that's not what Paul is telling us in this passage. You see, Paul says, you need to become a new creation because there's something fundamentally wrong with you and me. We need to become a new creation because things aren't right with who we are and what we do. You see, the Bible doesn't speak a complimentary word to us and say, look, you're mostly good, you're mostly wonderful, but there's just a few things here and there that we need to tighten up. No, the Bible declares that we are wicked people, that we are corrupt people, and we have a deep-seated issue that needs to be dealt with. Our old self, who we are as an individual by default, is the issue. That's why we need to become new. The old us, the normal us, the default us, is not nice and wonderful. It is sinful and wrong. And deep down, we know that life is not as it should be. We know that we are not as we should be. We know that we are corrupt and we do wrong things. The Bible says here that that's why you need to become a new creation. You need to become a new creation because of sin. And if we're going to understand the who of the new creation and the how we become a new creation, we need to have our problems diagnosed first. We need to see why we need to become a new creation. If you get sick and you call up the doctor and you manage to get to see a doctor, what will often happen is you'll go in, you'll speak to the doctor, and the doctor will ask you to list all your symptoms, to tell you what's going wrong. And you'll explain to the doctor, this is happening, that is happening, and then after hearing all the symptoms, the doctor will make a diagnosis. He will tell you the problem. And if we're going to be brand new, if we're going to have a new creation that the Bible here promises, then we need the diagnosis from God. We need to understand what God says about us, and we need to understand what has gone wrong in our lives. You see, the Bible tells us that the lives that we now live, the societies that we now live in, were not always like they are now. How humanity is, how we interact, how we behave, is not how we were in the beginning. You see, if we're going to diagnose the problem, we need to go back to the start of our Bibles and see that in the beginning of our Bibles, God tells us that humanity was perfect. The Bible tells us in the beginning of the Bible, we did not need to become a new creation because we were a perfect creation. And into the perfect creation that God had made, God put humanity. And humanity lived a wonderful life in great relationship with God. They lived in a world that was free from pain and death and suffering. There was no chaos. It was truly paradise. And if you read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we look at that and we say, wouldn't that be wonderful to get back to? A life that is perfect. A life with no problems. A life with no sin and suffering. But that's not what we see today. We see that when God made the world, everything was good and wonderful and as it should be. But then in Genesis chapter 3, we see that everything changes. We see that our first parents, Adam and Eve, chose to rebel against God. They turned their back on God and did their own thing, and that's called sin. And all of a sudden, the perfect creation was corrupted. It fell. It became wicked. Sin brought about many consequences. The biggest consequence that sin brings about is that it takes away our life and it gives us death. The Bible says the soul who sins shall die. And the wages of sin is death. Sin brings about a separation between us and God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." Everything changed. Corruption came into the world. The creation became perverted because of sin. That's the root of the issue. This is why we need to become a new creation. Now you might hear that and say, oh, hang on, that's fair enough, that's Adam and Eve, but that's not me. Adam and Eve may have done wrong and corrupted everything, but that's not me. I'm not Adam, I'm not Eve, I shouldn't be blamed for what they did. Well, within each and every one of us, our nature has now become corrupted because of what Adam and Eve did. I think of it like this. You inherit the genetics and the DNA from your parents. You've got no choice over the matter. That's just how it comes down the line. And if you have a medical condition in your ancestors' past, chances are that genetics is going to come down into your life as well. It just gets passed down the line. Well, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they plunged the world into death, into chaos, and the human nature changed. We became a sinful people. And now, just like DNA, that sin nature gets passed down the line. And while we may not necessarily be judged because of Adam's personal sin, we get judged because our nature is bent towards sin and we choose to commit sin. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." See, we can't point our finger at Adam and Eve and say, "How dare you?" Because we've done the exact same thing. They broke God's commands and perverted the creation, and we break God's commands. We rebel against him. We lie and steal, we lust, we hate, we blaspheme God, we fail to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and, well, do we really love our neighbor as ourselves? We break the law of God. And the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," and sin brings about judgment. It brings about death and hell. You say, "Josh, what's that have to do with becoming a new creation?" This is why we need to become a new creation. We like to grab hold of the promise, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation," that we miss the why. Why is it you need to become a new creation? Why is it you need change? Why is it you need a new beginning? Why? Because you, like everyone else, have sinned against God and done that which is wrong. And as we look at our own lives and as we look around the world around us, that is why that voice inside of us says, "This is not right. Something needs to change." Our conscience comes alive and tells us that the way we live, the way we act, is not the right way to live, not the right way to act. We need change. We need to become a new creation. Because the default us, the old creation, is corrupted by sin. So that is the why of the new creation. But as we look at our passage, we see there's also a who of the new creation. The who of the new creation. You see, what often happens is, when we start to realize that things aren't right in our life, that things aren't as they should be, that we realize that we are separated from God because of our sin, what our default position as humanity seems to be is we go, "Right, I can fix that. I'm now going to try and repair that myself." That's often what we think about. Now, when I was in pastoral ministry, I had opportunity to counsel married people before, husbands and wives, and one of the most common things that actually come up in marital counselling, the most common frustration I've seen in counselling, and indeed it's probably also true in my own marriage, is that when a husband and wife come together and the wife goes to the husband and says, "Listen, this is what's going on in my life, this is what's happening," the husband's first response is not to listen, but to say, "I can fix that." And if you're married, you've probably got a husband who's done stuff like that as well. Ladies can understand that point. You tell the husband what's going on, and you just want him to hear. You just want him to listen, to acknowledge what you're going through, and his response is going, "I'll sort you out. I'll fix you out. I'll get it all sorted now." That's the default of humanity. There's a problem, I need to fix it. And as we look at our sin, that's what happens. We see a problem. We see our need to become a new creation. We see that our sin is great, that we're separated from God. And we go, I can fix that. So what people do is they try a variety of things to fix their sin. Some try to be good and never sin again. Well, that fails. Others do good deeds, give to charity and do wonderful things in society, hoping that that will remove their sin. Again, that won't help you. Others become religious. They go to church. They read their Bibles. They pray. They're baptized. Perhaps they're sitting in this chapel listening to an Australian this morning and they think, if I just do enough religious deeds, that will solve my sin problem. That will make me a new creation. It won't. You see, our sin is deep and we can't fix it ourselves. We can't change ourselves. We cannot make ourselves into new creations. And if we don't deal with the root issue of the problems in our society and in the problems of our own lives, then it'll never be resolved. You might see the issue of sin and think, right, I'm just going to try and cover it up and do other things. That won't ever fix the problem. It might make you quietly confident in yourself for a little while, but when you appear before the judgment seat of Christ, all those deeds and actions that you've done will mean nothing because the root hasn't been dealt with. Several years ago, I actually lived in a house that had black mold. Now, black mold is a terrible thing. How'd the landlord deal with it? Just painted over it. That'll fix it. Didn't do a thing. And that's what our works and our religion, our efforts are like. When we see our sin, we come along and we try to paint over our sin, saying that fixes it. Fresh coat of paint, everything's now wonderful. But it can't solve the issue. As Jeremiah 13:23 asks, can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard its spots? The answer is no. We can't change ourselves. We cannot make ourselves into the new creation. So what is the solution? Who can make us into the new creation? If it's not me, if it's not you, if it's not our deeds, who can make us a new creation? We'll look again at our verse. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Here is the who of the new creation. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He is our only hope. And the Bible says that if we are in Him, if we are in Christ, then we are a new creation. It doesn't say, therefore, if anyone does good deeds, goes to church, reads their Bible, and gives to charity, they're a new creation. It doesn't say that. Because that would be us trying to fix ourselves. No, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Jesus becomes the focus. He is the one who has to do the rescuing. He is the one who has to come and take our old creation, our old sinful self, and deal with our sin. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This is external to us. This isn't what we do, rather it is something Jesus must do for us. Why is Jesus the one who can make us a new creation? Why is Jesus the one who can forgive all our sins, no matter what we've done, and make us brand new? Well, if you look down at verse 21 of chapter 5, you'll see why Jesus is the only hope. Verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Here is a wonderful verse of scripture that you could spend months unpacking, and even then you'd only just scratch the surface. But in this wonderful verse, what we see is this great declaration of God's love, God's kindness towards sinful people. You see, God loves the world. He loves you. He loves sinful people. Now, this is not an approving love. It's not a love that says you continue in your sin. No, it's a rescuing love. And God's love is shown in that Jesus Christ comes down to rescue us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that it's only through what Jesus has done that we can be made brand new. You see, the focus of becoming a new creation is not on us, it's on Jesus and his work. He is the who of the new creation. The Bible tells us that Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is God the Son who left the glories of heaven, who came down to the cesspool of our world. He walked the streets that we walk. He breathed our air. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And then in love, he willingly went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. He became sin for us. That corruption that is deep within each and every one of us. Our sin that is so deep-rooted in our being, that sin that says you need to become a new creation, was dealt with by Jesus. He became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our sin, your sin, proclaimed death and judgment upon you. But Jesus Christ in love dies in the place of sinners. He becomes sin for us. Jesus on the cross didn't die for anything he did. He is sinless. Rather, Jesus on the cross dies as a substitute. He takes our sin upon himself. He takes our old selves. He takes the root of the problem, our sin. And he nails it to the cross. He pays the penalty for our sin. He dies the death that we should die. Jesus Christ is crucified, dead, and buried. But then, on the third day, he rises again. And now Jesus says, because I have paid it all, because I have dealt with sin, I can make you righteous. I can make you right with God. Or as our verse says in verse 17, Jesus says, I can make you a new creation. I can make you brand new. I can give you a new beginning. Now please note, we can't earn this. We can't merit it by our deeds or religion. It's freely offered to us by Jesus Christ alone. This promise of becoming a new creation is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. Oh, but don't I have to change myself first? No. Don't I have to give up my sin first and then I'll come to Jesus? No. Take your sin to him. Oh, but surely I've got to be baptized and that will help me. No. Go to Jesus alone. He is the one who says he can make you brand new. In fact, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, Jesus declares, behold, I make all things new. He doesn't point to you and say, well, you've had a good go at it. You've made yourself pretty new. I'm just going to fix a few things. No, he says, I make all things new. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. He is the one who forgives. He is the one who rescues. He is the one who can give you a new beginning because he is the one who died and rose again and says, if you're in him, you are a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. No matter who you are, No matter what you have done, no matter how many sins you may have on the books, Jesus Christ this day says to you, you can be completely forgiven. You can be completely rescued. You can become brand new because of his love and grace, because of what he did on the cross. Why do we need to become a new creation? Because of our sin. Who of the new creation? Jesus Christ and what he has done. But then we have the how of the new creation. The how of the new creation. You know, it's wonderful to hear of God's love and kindness towards sinners. It's great to be reminded from Scripture that God loves us and that God has a plan to rescue us. But we've got to ask the question, how? How can I be forgiven? How can I be transformed? How can I have a new beginning? How can I become a new creation? How can what Jesus has done on the cross be applied to me today? You notice our text says that to be a new creation, we must be in Christ. In Christ. That gets very personal. Paul here in writing personalizes the gospel. He doesn't just give you historical facts. Jesus died and rose again. That is a truth testified in history, both Christian and secular. But just knowing the historical facts will not make you a new creation. In Christ. You personally, as an individual, must be in Christ. Doesn't matter if your parents or your relatives or your nation or whatever it may claim to be Christian. What has to be personally dealt with here is you as an individual. You as an individual must be in Christ. Now, what does it mean to be in Christ? Well, to be in Christ means he becomes your identity and your life. He is your all in all. It means you come to Jesus by faith and you trust only in him. To be in Christ means that you turn from your sin and you turn to Jesus alone. The biblical word for that is repentance. It means that you trust that Jesus died in your place and that he has risen again from the dead. It means you trust him, that he alone can rescue. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. When you come to Jesus, trusting in him alone, turning from your sin, the Bible says you're in Christ. You will only be made brand new. You'll only be forgiven and become a new creation when you're in Christ. The old, with its guilt and shame, all the sins of the past and present and future will be gone forever when you're in Christ. When you turn to him and trust in him. The Bible says that when you do that, this is what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah. The Bible says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I'll not remember your sins. If you're in Christ, God says, I won't remember your sins anymore. They're gone. They're blotted out. They're forgiven. Why? Because Jesus on the cross paid for them. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. God says, if you're in Christ, your transgressions, your sin is removed so far from you that it's like the east and the west. Now think of it like this. If you head north and you go up around the globe, you're heading north, eventually you'll get to the top and you're going to start heading south again. North and south will always meet. But east and west will never meet. If you always head east, you're always going to be travelling east. If you head west, you're always going to be travelling west. You're never going to get to a point where all of a sudden it flips and you start heading the other way. And that's what the Bible says about our sin. Our sin is removed in such a way that because of Jesus, you will never meet it again. That you'll be completely forgiven. You'll be completely rescued. To put it into New Testament language, that sounds like you become a new creation. All our sin is gone. Our past is removed. Our guilt is taken away by Jesus alone. But to become a new creation, you must be in Christ. Which creates a question for you this morning. Right now, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Have you, as an individual, personally trusted in Christ? Are all your sins forgiven? And are you a new creation this very day? I can't answer that question for you. But that's a question you need to think through and consider. Are you in Christ? Have you trusted in Him? Have you turned from your sins? If you say, well, I'm not sure, then today, why not? Trust in Him. If you say, well, no, I've never trusted in Christ, I've never turned from my sin, then what is stopping you this day from trusting in Him? He is so loving and kind, He is gracious, that even now He would hold out His hand of forgiveness to you and say, if you would take Him by faith, if you would turn from your sins and trust in Him, you would be in Christ and you'd become a new creation. What is stopping you this day from trusting in Jesus? You see, those who are already in Christ can testify to the change that Jesus has made in their lives. People are completely transformed by Him. Even those who may be deemed hopeless and helpless by our own standards can be changed by Jesus. I work nearly weekly with a man who was a drunk. He was an in-the-gutter alcoholic. He was down and he was out. Yet many years ago, Jesus rescued him. And that man today is brand new. He is a new creation in Christ. All the sin of the past is gone. And that can be true for you as well. And this morning you may be sitting here saying, well, that's well and good. I'm glad that worked for you. I'm glad that works for others. But this could never work for me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the sin I've committed. You don't know my past. And you're right, I don't. I don't know what you've done. And I don't need to know. I don't know the deeds you've done in darkness, the deeds you've done secretly that no one else has seen, but only God has seen. But I do know this. The God who cannot lie, the God of all truth, makes a promise. And He says to you, if you are in Christ, you'll be a new creation. If you would trust in Jesus, the old will be gone. The new will come. So it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are or how great your sin is. God already knows about it. And God says, if you're in Christ, you'll be a new creation. If you would trust in Jesus, no matter what you've done, Christ will forgive you. That's the promise of God's word. God's mercy, God's love, God's kindness is wide enough to receive even the most vile and wicked of sinners, as Jesus became sin for us, so that we might become into right standing with God. So the question for you right now is this: are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Has all your sins been forgiven? Are you a new creation? And if the answer is no, then today, come to Jesus. He is so loving and kind. He says he loves you, and he showed that love at the cross. He died, he rose again. And now says if you would trust in him, if you would repent, there is forgiveness. Shame, guilt removed, sins gone, and you become a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.